Hi, y'all. Carrie D here. Welcome to the Coffee with Carrie Homeschool Podcast. Join me every Thursday for some much-needed encouragement, coffee, and conversation. It's my prayer that this podcast will help you homeschool one step at a time, one day at a time, and one cup of coffee at a time. If you're blessed each week by my podcast, make sure you check out my book, Just Breathe and Take a Sip of Coffee, Homeschool in Step with God. And check out my new book, Homeschool High School, A Handbook for Christian Education. Then share a podcast with some of your homeschooling friends who might need a little encouragement this week. You can also find me at my website, coffeewithcarrie.org, or on Instagram at coffeewithcarrieconsultant. You can also join The Coffee House, our premium membership, where you can find even more encouragement, community, and homeschool help. So stick around, pour yourself a cup of coffee, put your feet up, and take a little coffee break with me. Let's get started. Hi, y'all. I have a special treat for you this week. I am talking with Leah Bowden, also known as Modern Miss Mason. Leah is the host of Modern Miss Mason podcast and the author of Modern Miss Mason book. Leah is a writer, educator, and homeschool mom and leader. Her desire is to encourage people, especially women, to grow intellectually, spiritually, and holistically as they live deeper, pay attention to beauty around them, appreciate wonder, love their children well, and thrive in life. So stick around. In this week's episode, Leah shares with us the five big ideas from Charlotte Mason. So hi, Leah, how are you?
Hi, I'm really well, thank you. I'm so excited to be on here chatting with you today.
Thank you. How are things across the pond?
Very wet and grey and dreary. The quintessential English day is happening today. Yeah, we've had a really, really wet winter so far. So that's not fun, but hopefully it will clear up and we'll get some winter blue skies. But all is well in the Bowden house, all is well.
I love it. So for the mamas out there who may not be familiar with you, can you tell us just a little bit about yourself, your family, and your homeschooling?
Yes, absolutely. So my name is Leah Bowden, and I live in Coventry in England, which is right in the middle of the country, pretty close to Stratford-upon-Avon, a couple of hours from London. So I know people like to locate it in their maps in their mind. And I have four children. They are now two adults and two teenagers. So I've been a mother for 21 years and two boys, two girls. I'm married to Dave. And we have been home educating for, it must be around 17 years, but I kind of got started. I didn't even really know it was a thing in the UK or even if it was legal, but we got started as she was enrolled in a local primary school for the very first year, like pre-K year. And that was the year I knew, okay, this is not for me, and kind of always knew that. So I feel like I've always been a home educator. I think, you know, when people say, I've done it from the beginning, I was playing Mozart to my children when they were in the womb. And I've always been, hungry to kind of eager to help my children on an educational journey. But formal home education really got rolling in the early 2000s for us. So, yeah, and I'm nearing the end, actually. I'm nearing the kind of finishing last few years of doing that. But both my husband and I have worked in education. He still does. And so we have got loads. Our background is working with young people, either in the church or in local council or in schools. So all the energy we bring to life is basically about, you know, supporting the next generation. That's definitely what we're about. Is that enough info?
You know, one of the things that I love about you is just in the simple fact that I said homeschooling, and in your description, you kept saying home education. And I love that because that's what a lot of moms do these days. They try to do school at home and, you know, they try to replicate what they're actually trying to get away from or what doesn't work for their family. And so thank you for correcting then saying home education. I love it. So I'm going to keep saying that in our
Well, it's interesting, Carrie, because it's actually, it's the more common used phrase terminology in the UK. We don't really say homeschooling. I think if we do, it's come from the States. And so, and I, there is a very strong, differentiation between, like you said, about like what school looks like and actually educating our children from home. So, and language creates culture. So I'm really like, I want to use the right words to help people, but I slip in and out of it. I say homeschooling if I'm, because I work a lot with the American homeschooling crowd. See, I just did it then. So bilingual, you know.
I love it. Bilingual. That is awesome. Charlotte Mason language and the others. I love it. Well, for those out there, they may not realize that I met you about a year ago at a Wild and Free conference that was held in SLO, which, oh, it was so awesome. I'm so glad they're doing it again SLO this year. But I knew from the moment that we met that I would love everything about you. I mean, I already said I have a friend of mine who's British. And so we actually teach a Shakespeare class together in our co-op.
Oh, cool.
And in all honesty, it's selfish on my part because I just love to just sit there and listen to her read Shakespeare with her with her accent. And so I just knew when I sat down to talk with you, it was like this level of comfort already. But I love following you on Instagram. You have such wonderful things that you put out there. And but the part I love about you the most is you have such a heart for moms who are home educating their kids. Mm-hmm. And even moms who are not home educating, but how to infuse beauty in in the lives of their families. And so I just love all that. So let's get into that. So first of all, tell us how you found Charlotte Mason and why this approach, why you use this approach in your home education.
Sure. So Charlotte Mason was a British revolutionary educator, but because she is, her work is aligned with the modern homeschooling, and I'll use that phrase in the right way, homeschooling movement, she was kind of resurrected, her work was resurrected in North America, so the United States and in Canada as well. And that was happening before homeschooling or home education was really a thing here in the UK. So basically, I started to research home education and what that looked like. I think the first thing I Googled was, is it legal in England? You know, can I do this? I didn't know. I knew one person. I think I knew one person eventually who did it. So you can imagine people listening now, they know. They have this plethora of community, whether in real life or on online, where you just can always find another home educator. I couldn't do that. They're just with this one person who lived quite far away. So I just did some research and everything pointed back to the States. It was like American blogs, American websites. And but the beauty of that was Karen and Dean and Andreola had produced. And we're on camera right now, so I'm going to show you this, but I'll tell people what it is. The pink volumes of the homeschooling series, they had brought these out in the 80s. They'd republished the books. She'd also written Charlotte Mason Companion. For the Children's Sake came out in like 1984. Lots of people will be familiar with that. So I was able to kind of jump onto these things in the early 2000s, but feeling quite alone, quite like, what's going on here? But I was able to, I discovered this person, Charlotte Mason, started to go down that rabbit hole. And quite honestly, Carrie, I haven't come back up. I am still very much down there. Like, hello, Leah, come back. But come up for air every so often. And I kind of looked at things like unschooling and Waldorf, and I'd read John Holt and, you know, gone around, and really helpful to get a wide perspective of an educational approaches, but was just caught by Charlotte Mason's emphasis on, you know, as a fellow Christian and believer as well, I was caught with her emphasis on children being born persons, being unique and capable of contributing to the world around them, of adding and taking from it. I loved her emphasis on nature and beautiful living books. And she just seemed to understand children. And there was so much of it that actually rung true of my schooling, my kind of late 1970s, early 80s schooling in Yorkshire, in England. There were so many things that were familiar. And so I've just kind of kept researching, kept reading. And then began to, I became a practitioner of her work as I was alongside being a student. And so there were so many aspects of it that I just couldn't imagine, you know, going anywhere else. But the thing, Carrie, is that it didn't just impact us as teaching our children, but it impacted me as a mother and a woman. And, mm-hmm. and still to this day, I implement the ideas from her work in my life every single day. So I discovered her very early on. You know, and actually, a lot of people will know Lynn Steadon from Exploring Nature with Children. Mm-hmm. So she was the first British person I discovered who, and she's from the north, from Wigan. She was the first, and our older kids are a similar age. So I reached out to her thinking she was American, and she's like, "No, I'm in the north of England." And we've been friends ever since. So I found a companion to kind of do this with. But yeah, so that's kind of how I discovered Charlotte was just going on some blogs, but then I just launched into this lifetime of discovery, but also making it real for myself and my family, and that's a big part of my work.
I'd love that. And it really goes into the topic I wanted to talk with you about today. I wanted to ask you that overarching question about what do you consider to be the five big ideas of Charlotte Mason? And the reason why I wanted to ask you, Miss Modern Mason, is because of what you just said, that it wasn't just something you implemented in your children's education, but you implemented it in the home and you implemented it mm-hmm. in your own education. I often say that homeschooling actually redeemed my own education.
Me too.
Yeah. And so perfect lead into that, because what are those, and I'm sure there's a whole bunch more than five, but what do you consider, like if someone was just starting off with jumping down that rabbit hole that you're still in?
Yeah. Come on in.
Hi, Alice. Come join us. What can you tell those moms that you think are the five big ideas of a Charlotte Mason education?
I think ideas, I'm going to jump around from mm-hmm. principles to a bunch of principles and then a bunch of, which will make up five, and then some of the kind of methods that I would say are the big ideas. And the two things I ask when people say, where do I start with Charlotte Mason? I ask them a question, two questions. What do you believe about children and childhood? And what do you believe about education? So the two, you know, Charlotte Mason have 20 principles, and you can find them at the beginning of all the books, the six volumes. And they go into, you know, they all kind of follow each other. But the two fundamental ones for me and for many educators are, children are born persons. And this is based on her belief in God creating children, and that they come complete and whole. And we don't get to shape and mold them and knock them around. We get to stand and be front row viewers of the great unveiling of their life. And I can talk about that in my book. You know, this kind of, we get to facilitate their environment and their input, which then draws out the amazing person that they are. And yes, they have choices. Yes, they can go all sorts of directions. But that idea blew my mind. Like, oh, because you often get that there are various philosophical ideas of the child being like an empty bucket, and we get to fill them up. And I don't want that control. I don't want any of that responsibility. Thank you very much. You know, the gift of a child. But then us recognizing that I didn't make them, and in that way that they are whole, they're ready to contribute to the world. I just get to facilitate their world around them. That is a key idea, and that's so fundamental to the outworking of her principles and her methods. The second thing is that she said, which is one of the fundamental principles, is education is the science of relation. So it's about relationship. So everything is connected. So we introduce children to the great outdoors, to nature, to brilliant thinkers through books and poetry, to artists, to music, to, you know, this grand conversation, these big narrative ideas. But they make the connections. They start to, the more they are connected with the world, the more they start to tie these ideas together and form their own ideas. And that, is, again, for the sake of time, I could go down that one for a long time. but people can research it. Education and science of relations. It's again, a big one for her. And then I want to talk about three of the methods that people will probably know about this, that are very important, I think, to building a Charlotte Mason education. One of those is this idea of living books. And that goes hand in hand with the other one I want to talk about, which is narration. And living books, and it's not just books, it's living ideas. So it's, she talks about books and things, which I think is wonderful. And so we think it's often there's a misconception that it's just about books, it's a literature-based education. That's not actually true. It is very heavily influenced by good literature, but a living idea is something that is organic, it's multipliable, it's moving. A textbook is very different from a living book. A textbook will give you lists of facts and colorful pictures and lots of like other people's ideas, or a living book could share the same information and knowledge, but through a story or from somebody's firsthand experience. And they're written in a way where it just jumps off the page and you can talk about it afterwards. So living books are very important. Again, another rabbit hole you can go down. And that really works hand in hand with this idea of this method of narration. And narration is telling back what you have heard, seen, experienced, felt. And kids do this naturally. They'll come back from grandma's and say, I saw a dog and it was black and it had white paws. And when we had ice cream, and then there was a green gate and we went through it and there were flowers. And that's them just narrating their day. So they naturally know how to do that. And so we introduce this idea of telling back into education, which is a way of a child owning their own knowledge. And also it kind of forms these amazing scientific things that go on in their brain, which causes it to for them to be able to remember. It goes into their long-term memory. So they're more likely, it's got meaning and it's got longevity if we tie together living ideas and narration. And then the other one, there are so many, like you said, the other one I would say is this idea of getting outside. Now, we're so familiar with this now with brilliant people like Ginny with 1,000 mm-hmm. Hours Outdoors. I mean, just amazing work. And there are so many books and writers and just general thinking around our mental well-being. But this idea of getting outside as much as possible, from Charlotte's perspective, was not just about well-being and fresh air, although she did talk about fresh air a lot. The Victorians thought fresh air was the answer to everything. I mean, it probably is. But she talks about being out in nature, nature study, nature law, being a foundation of scientific discovery. So she tied all that in with the habit of observation and the habit of attention and actually using what we have on our doorstep, which I think is amazing. And so we can go outside, we can look at a tree with a child, we can look at the bark, we can look at the leaves and the vein formation, look what's underneath it, you've got a whole biology lesson plus an observational, topic lesson or whatever you want to call it. And then you can have a narration afterwards and talk about it. I mean, there's so much there. So yes, for their health and well-being, yes, science, but also for her, it was very much help a child connect with the creation and the creator. So it's bigger than just kind of get outside. It was pretty key to her educational philosophy. So that's really five things that I would draw out that I think a good starting point of understanding and of practice.
I'm a retired homeschooling mom, so I haven't been in the trenches for a couple of years now. And I'm just listening to you talk about all this, and it makes me go, oh, I remember those days, and I love doing that with the kids. And I just wish people could see your face, because the more you talk about it, the more you light up. And it just,
I love it.
You just make education and beauty and creation and God's wonder and living book, just all of it sound beautiful, but also so simple. Like, it's just so simple. Yeah. So I think that's what a lot of moms do when they go down that rabbit hole and they read all these wonderful resources. And then they just feel like they have to be a Charlotte Mason purist. And if they're not doing it this way, then they can't do it. And so they give up on it.
Carrie, I've spent the last at least the last decade, because I didn't get into kind of sharing stuff for quite a while into busy raising children. But mm-hmm. I've definitely spent the last decade trying to undo that and do a lot of that and just go, just come on, you can do this. Your face, you fit here, you know, let all those things go. And it takes a lot, you know, just through coaching or workshops and my book really is just kind of shaking some of that off people's shoulders and mm-hmm. just, this is to be enjoyed and delight. I mean, Charlotte Mason said education is for delight. And so we should have faces that are beaming when we talk about it and not kind of dread, because even all these many years in, over 20 years of being a parent, I genuinely feel excited about these concepts. And I don't know about you, Carrie, but I'm looking forward to grandchildren coming over. And I'm like, I have this library ready for them. I mean, I don't know how long that will be, but I'm ready.
I'm ready too, but don't tell my kids I said that.
no mine.
So, you know, here in the States, we have a term called de-schooling, right? And that whole idea of what you were saying, just trying to shed our own experiences and our own thoughts. And then for type A people like me, I start reading everything because I'm not going to start something until I read a bunch of, you know, make sure I know what I'm doing. And then I get kind of stuck, like you said, in this mold of, well, I have to do it this way, right? So just real quick, what do you think are some of the major misconceptions that some people have about the Charlotte Mason philosophy or approach that they should just shed in 2024?
Yeah, I mean, we could do a whole podcast on that, yeah. But I'll give a few because okay. I've worked basically, I mean, all the coaching calls and stuff that I do, it's just like a whole ream of research, of data, of people coming with their misconceptions and me having to unpick and start mm-hmm. from the beginning. But one of them is that there is one right way to do it. And there is this belief that, you know, it must be done. It must be followed to a T. There must be, if you do. And I, you know, some people have told me they have been told this. If you don't do it this way, you're failing your children. I don't know who's saying that. And I'm sad. And I'm sure maybe there's the person who said it would go back on that now. I hope so. But that's the kind of work that I've been doing, is like trying to undo that kind of misconception. So people get so uptight and just burn out so quickly. And in Charlotte Mason's first biography, written by a friend of hers called Essex Chumley, she says in that, Charlotte said she left no recipes behind. So she left principles and ideas and concepts and methods. But she didn't tell it. She didn't say, you must do it this way with half a teaspoon of this and put it in the oven for 200, because she knew children. She knew humanity. And so I think we have to shake off this idea that there is no one rule fits all. I mean, that if we understand childhood, if we understand creation, if we understand ourselves, we know that's not true. So I don't know how people believe that. Another misconception is that it is only for young children. So, you know, Charlotte Mason's ideas and concepts don't go beyond sort of 9 or 10 years old. People get really caught up on that. And that is not true at all. I mean, her educational influence, her ideas, her programs went global and went, you know, she had, obviously it looked very different to how our education system looks now or our home education looks. But she had governesses and schools going right through to, you know, high school and beyond. But also in that same vein, I use her principles in my own learning. Like, it just doesn't end. There isn't. So I think if you can grasp the principles and the ideas and the methodology, then you can adapt it as your children get older. Yes, the books get longer and more rigorous. Yes, their output. is required of their output in the high school years, but you know, I think people use terms like it's not very rigorous. Well, I mean, I don't know how you can say that when actually, excuse me, the child owns their education. They are, you know, it's their own ideas. So I think it's a really wrong concept. That shows me, if people are talking like that, it shows me a misunderstanding of the philosophy. So I love to help when people say things like that. I like to guide, because I think it's I think it's for life, Kerry. I do. I think it's for life. And so, you know, whether your children do go into a school institute, like here in the UK, they often start national exams at 14. So a lot of people finish and they pivot around the age of 14 because they're getting the kids ready for national exams. And we do that in our household. But that doesn't mean the foundations of a Charlotte Mason education are not evident and still present in their life every day. And so we have to get out of that thinking. I mean, there's loads more, but I know we haven't got the time, but hope that's helpful to someone.
It is. And on that note, that's what your book and your podcast and even your online community, The Collective, that's what you do in your coaching. You help people get out of the misconceptions and into a true Charlotte Mason type of education. So real quick, can you tell us a little bit about your book, Modern Miss Mason, your podcast? Yes. And your online community, and then how moms can connect with you on social media.
Absolutely. Either search Leah Bowden, BODENOW, or Modern Miss Mason. They all kind of end up in the same place, really. And you can find me on Instagram, Facebook, website, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, Modern Miss Mason, the book came out in January. It's almost one year old. I'm holding it in my hand. It's almost 1 year old. So I'm going to do a little Instagram birthday party probably. And, you know, I'm so grateful for the success of this book and how much it's helping people and encouraging people. That's what it's for. And I just kind of sent it out and said to, you know, like, who wants this? Who can it help? So that's the book. And I have, podcast, Modern Miss Mason, which will be starting back up soon. And that is sharing the ideas, I guess, behind what I teach and I work, but also interviewing people, not just from a Charlotte Mason perspective, but also I interview a lot of writers. We talk about poetry, literature, music, art, all the stuff that kind of would sit alongside a Charlotte Mason education. I love those kind of conversations. And we talk about writing and all that kind of stuff too. So that's the podcast. And then, yes, my favorite part of my work is The Collective. And The Collective is, I've been running workshops and kind of online forums for many, many years. And I decided at the beginning of, the end of 2022 to kind of bring everything I do under one roof. And I called it The Collective. And that is a really affordable monthly membership sort of thing where we do so much. So I do a monthly workshop. I've got one tonight, actually. We do a book club this year. We're working our way, get this, we're reading as a community all six of Charlotte Mason's books in 12 months. So one book over 2 months. So we're doing that together. We do a digital co-working space once a week. So if you're a person who just needs a bit of focus, we jump on Zoom together and we just do some work. Like, we'll just sit quietly. You can see everybody on their Zoom. It's great. It's a bit like a WeWork office, but digital. And so I encourage people. Some people bring their knitting or they crochet. Some people bring a novel they're working on. Some people bring their commonplace book or their journaling. And so that's great. We do that. And then so book club, a Q&A. We do a monthly Q&A as well. So, and then there's community on there. So there's constant conversation and, you know, people just kind of getting to know each other. And it's a global community. So I've got people from all over the world on there. And it's hosted on Substack. And then more people are getting to know that more and more. We just moved over there, which has helped kind of opened up our world a little bit. And so all the information for everything I do is on leahbowden.com, and I'm busy writing now for children. So I can't say too much about that yet, but I am writing three living books that will come out next year. So they are in the works. One is being edited. I've got to write two more this year. So I shall keep you posted when I can tell you more about those.
Yes, because you can never have enough living books. So
absolutely not. And especially from a modern author.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So we're coming to the end, but in this new year, I'm ending each of my conversations with a new tradition. I'm calling it a lightning round. And it's just fun for the moms to get to know the person that I'm speaking to. So, and I want them to know why I adore you so much. They pretty much got that now that they've heard you. But
you are sweet.
Let's see how much we could get through in 1 minute. Okay. So I'm just going to give you the words and you tell me what you prefer. So here goes. Tea or coffee?
Tea.
Mountains or beach?
mountains.
Ooh, dog lover, cat person?
Dog, all the dogs.
I'm with you. Morning person, night owl?
Morning.
Passenger or driver?
Driver.
Train or plane?
Oh, train. Train is lovely. I love the train.
You get a look, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Big party, small gathering?
Small gathering.
Pen, pencil?
Pen. A really nice pen.
Yes, we do. Text, call?
Yeah. Oh, text.
You can tell you're
actually
a writer.
You know what? If I can throw something in there, voice note. That's my favorite thing. Voice note. Yeah.
See, so you're still doing the narration, but a little bit longer. Got it.
That's right. Yeah.
Rain or snow?
Snow. Right. March? We have too much rain.
Too much rain. We don't get any snow here in California. Music festival or art festival?
Art festival.
Love it. And online or in person?
Yeah, I like both because both are so important. But really, you know, in person, that's my favorite. I can pour you a cup of tea then. That's my favorite.
Yeah. Well, this has been lovely. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I was hoping that you could end us with just some words of encouragement that you can give to moms out there who are either feeling alone or who want to get started in this, but they're feeling overwhelmed.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to remember that you're not alone. I always say to people, I know we're not in the same boat. I don't think we can say that. Our lives and homes and experiences of parenting are very different, but we are swimming the same seas. And so we can kind of spot each other from across the ocean and give an encouraging wave and say, I've been there, like, let me help you. And I would say, look for the voices that you want to speak into your life, because we're so bombarded with them, it can be unhelpful. But find people who are encouraging, who do kind of see who you are, see you, and, follow them, be around them. If they're a real person, get into their living room, sit around the kitchen table. But truly, there is somebody for everybody to find encouragement and inspiration. So they're definitely not alone. And we're here for you. I mean, Carrie and I are here for you as well. So, yeah.
Well, thank you so much. This has been a joy, and I'm looking forward to the next time I get to see you in person. Yes. With a cup of tea. Yes.
Me too. Thank you so much for inviting me on. It's been great to chat with you.
You too. Thank you very much. See you soon.
Thank you for hanging out with me and for joining me for this little coffee break. It's our prayer that our website, our homeschooling consulting services, podcast, and books will help you homeschool one step at a time, one day at a time, and one cup of coffee at a time. We're praying for you. Stay healthy. God bless. And see you next time. Hey y'all, have you joined The Coffee House yet? The Coffee House is a new and unique online community for homeschooling moms who are looking for encouragement, support, and homeschooling help. Members of The Coffee House have access to monthly Q&A sessions with me and other homeschooling moms, discussion and chat boards with like-minded home educators, live, online, and recorded workshops to help you homeschool simply and enjoyably, monthly grab-and-go print-ready resources to help you homeschool, exclusive access to the Audible version of my book, Just Breathe, homeschool book, and discount codes and promotions to upcoming events and products. I hope you can join me. I promise that your heart and coffee cup will always be full with help, hope, and inspiration when you join the Coffee House. For more information or to join, go to my website, coffeewithcarrie.org. See you inside the Coffee House.